Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. I was actually trying to figure out how many orgasms have I had over the past 8 years. I'm not a size queen. He says size does matter and that nobody's going to be trading down. Size matters when it comes to anal. You don't want too big of a dick back there. When we stop seeing ourselves in a sexual way, just a lot of bad shit happens. I didn't see myself as sexy for the longest time. And I'm not saying it always is, but porn can be addictive. I can't believe how much pleasure there is inside my pussy. It's always about the cum shot for the guy. That little 2-second little swipe over her clit that she did, like that's gonna make her cum. Give me a break. Invest in your own sexuality. It will pay off. Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Happy Tuesday, guys. I hope you're having a great one so far. Hey, did you get a chance to listen to my last Saturday's episode, episode 485? You know what? That was really fun for me to do. I put my first episode ever on there. Bad recording and all. I left all my filler words in. So guys, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. If you have listened to it, you'll notice the compare and contrast between me chiming in with my current recording, commenting on what I was saying. And then it jumps back to, we go back into the recording number one. This is my very first podcast episode. And I'm really breaking it down into what has changed and what has stayed the same. But the interesting, funny part is, well, to me, funny behind the scenes is that if you listen to me and then you listen to year one and then you listen to how I'm talking now, you may say, oh, wow, you've become so refined over the years of podcasting. No, I have not. I hate to tell you. I hate to break it to you. I'm still the queen of filler words, the ums, you knows, likes, all that stupid stuff. It's still in my vocabulary, just probably as much as it ever was, maybe even more. I don't know. But, you know, I have editing software that pulls all that out. So nobody really knows just how, unless you listen to the private podcast, then you know how filler wordish I really am. Anyway, I found the whole thing really interesting. And I was actually really proud of myself how much of where my mindset was, what I was saying back then. To this day, I still stand by it. It's right on. There's a few things that I said, now that I know this or that or whatever, I have changed that opinion or whatever, but really fascinating. And if you guys haven't had a chance, give it a listen. It's not a long episode. I don't know. It's maybe 45 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that. It might have been 45 minutes before I cut the filler words out of my revised portion, but I did. I left it in its original. Left it intact. It's in its original, full-on original version. Didn't try to make the sound quality any better. I just went with it. but it was very interesting. I really got it. I'm tickled with it. I hope you guys give it a listen. That's episode 485. It's the one right before this. And I think I'm going to do that more. I think I'm going to bust in the old year one stuff and pop some up there from time to time and really just break down like, holy shit, where was I at then? And where am I at now? It's so fascinating. I have to tell you, one of the most interesting things about doing this, not just all the fun adventures, of course, that goes without saying, and all the hot sex. And I was actually trying to figure out how many orgasms have I had over the past 8 years. I don't know. Definitely more than I've had my whole entire life, for sure, up to that point. So the interesting thing is really to have this body of work where you get to go back and say, wow, compare what just you've documented it all. It's just really, really interesting. And I don't know, I encourage anybody to do a 1 year secret podcast. It's so much fun and you'll learn so much about yourself. I don't even care what the subject is you do. Just get on there and let it rip. It's very fun. You'll be surprised at how responsive and receptive people are. And the people that need to hear what you have to say will find you. It's really, yeah, it's really quite interesting. All right. So on that note, guys, what I really thought would be fun to do today and what I'm really inspired, because I'm inspired coming off of that last Saturday's episode. And I really got to thinking and I thought, you know what? I would love to talk about after this, the duration of this whole 8 years, what are some things that, you know, I really know and that I really don't know? And this is, of course, all about sex, right? What are some things at this point, after really being this entrenched in it, this focused on my sex life, exploring new partners, just going in all these different directions for all this time, what is it that I really know? Well, first thing I'm going to come out of the gate and finally admit, to some extent, and I had this debate earlier in the day with Cowboy Ann, but I'll tell you what his thoughts were. But first of all, I really do know that in some instances, size does matter. Now, hear me out. I know, because I've said, no, I'm not a size queen. It doesn't matter. It matters. I mean, it matters with your body types. It really does. The shape and size of our anatomy matching up and being able to hit the right spots and get in there. And sometimes we're not a good physical match. And so that could be because that could be some size issues there, guys, that really could. Now, Cowboy Ann says size always matters. Okay. He said size matters. He's got a big dick, so of course he's going to say that. But he says size does matter and that nobody's going to be trading down for a smaller dick, blah, 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 blah. He just had his whole thing. Maybe you can come on sometime and really talk about that. But my thought was this. It matters in some instances. I do believe there is a point where, for me, it would be too small. Now, I've never been with somebody that in a serious relationship where I had to make that determination, but I do have to believe that, as I guess shallow as it sounds, I do have to believe that if I'm getting good dick from one guy and good dick from another guy, maybe the only determining factor is the one's got a really big one and one's got average or small or less than average. Maybe I'm going to lean towards the big dick guy. I don't know. I don't know. The other instance, though, where size does matter, guys, is in anal. Size matters when it comes to anal. You don't want too big of a dick back there. I mean, again, when I was talking to Cowboy Ann, I said, we haven't done anal in a while, and I think we really need to. And he's like, well, that's because every time I try, you say no. This is true only because he doesn't give me any warning. See, when you're going to do it with a big dick, when you're going to have anal with a big dick, you need warning. And so again, in that instance, size, yes, size does matter. It definitely matters because I need to prepare and plan and I need my butt plug in for well before you get there, not just pop it in when you get there. I need to be good and damn well relaxed because that shit burns, baby. It burns when it's big. And that's just the truth.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Okay, let's talk about the next thing that I know. What do I really know? I know at this stage in the game, at this point, after 8 years, that sex is important, and especially to women. And here's the bummer, ladies, is we don't realize this enough. It has been so overlooked on our radar. I don't know why. I really, really thought about this. Like, why is that? Men just know inherently they're wired for it. Instinctually, they know it's important. It pretty much, to most red-blooded American men, it stays important. And I shouldn't even say just American men. Most red-blooded men on the planet, it stays important to them till they're, you know, balls are old and shriveled. It's still important to them. Like, it's going to be important to them, I think, pretty much until they draw their last breath. Men are sexual. They realize the importance of it. But it's not just the way I think we've categorized it, you know, where, oh, it's just because they're horny, they're perverts, they're blah, blah, blah. No. It's actually, they recognize what I think interesting part is women, we're supposed to be more emotional and all that, and we are for the most part, but men recognize they need it for the emotional connection to us or to their partner. It's needed and it's valuable. It's healthy. It keeps us happy. Orgasms are good, guys. And it's interesting because I think a world, a shit ton of problems arise around the fact that women don't prioritize their sex. They let those juicy pussies shrivel on the vine. And I'm guilty of it. I've done it. You know, I've been there. And I see so many of my female counterparts and friends and family, not everybody, but a lot that just don't care about it. They don't think they need it. They don't think it's important. They also don't recognize how awful it is to deny their partners, you know, that as well. I mean, it's very bizarre, but I can tell you the other thing that happens to us when we stop seeing ourselves in a sexual way, just a lot of bad shit happens. That's when you're wearing frumpy t-shirts, you're in your sweatpants all the time, you always get your hair pulled back, but you just stop seeing yourself as this vibrant, sexy woman that you are. Men don't stop seeing us that way, but we do. And what we do, we shut off this really vital part of ourselves that helps promote other parts of ourselves, you know, that it's all very, very interwoven. And when you turn that off, it creates a deficiency. I just can't believe how far down deficiency lane I went. And the farther I get away from it, and the more exploring I do, when I look back in my rear view on it, like I'm kind of starting to do now as I'm going through year one podcasts, it's just like I'm fresh. I'm coming fresh off of being in that state of not prioritizing it. And my goodness, I don't know how I did that to myself or why I did that to myself. And there were so many things that I couldn't really even fully, all the accomplishments, the sacrifices, the things I was sacrificing to get to all those accomplishments. Well, you know, when I got there, to be honest, I really wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with it. And I was accomplishing a lot personally, professionally, financially, all the things that kind of society tells you, like to be a boss bitch and to do blah, blah, blah. And I was all about it before they called it a boss bitch. And I loved the accomplishments and all that, but I lost the balance. I'd really kind of lost my way. And now that I am not in that mode anymore, I can see it much more clearly. And I just go, whoa. And when you're in it, you don't realize it. That's the thing. I think a lot of women, they can feel something's off. They know something's off, but they don't really have a clue about how detrimental it is overall to yourself as a female, as a sexual female. And when you shut that side off of yourself, that it just, or you're not interested in it, or it becomes a chore, it's just something you're not into. There's other things about your femininity that you're not into either that are affected by this. And that flows into your work, your family life, your relationships. You just don't realize it. Don't really realize it until you start to reinvestigate that side of yourself and see yourself as sexy. I didn't see myself as sexy for the longest time. It was almost like I just had no thought there about, and I'm attractive. And that's why I said I was wasting the pretty. There's so many women wasting their pretty and they don't really, they just don't grasp the enormity of the price tag that comes with and all the areas of their life that it's hurting. And the people that love them, that it's hurting. So yeah, sex is important. Very important, especially, and I think it's more important that women stay sexual than it is for men, because men, they're simple. You turn it off, they're going to be like, okay, they'll adapt, whatever. They may not like it, but it really does something to our psyche as women. And I think it leads to depression, dissatisfaction, this overall feeling of like, okay, what the fuck is this? What I worked so hard for? Is this what life's really all about? Like, why do I feel so empty? Why am I not satisfied? There's just a lot that goes into it. So this is ringing true for any of you women. Trust me, you can change it real quick. Okay. The next thing I do know is that porn can be, and I'm not saying it always is, but porn can be addictive. Now, I love porn, but I have my bouts with it. Right now, I'm having a great bout with it. I'm doing a lot of porn investigation, going deep down the rabbit hole. I'm watching all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm masturbating every goddamn day, multiple times. I'm having a lot of orgasms. I'm actually really in this great self-pleasure mode right now that I'm really enjoying. I can't believe how much pleasure there is inside my pussy. Holy shit. Not just my pussy, but I mean, my everywhere, my nipples, just touching and being sensual. But I think the more you explore and the more you masturbate and the more you really realize, like, holy crap, I thought I had a Honda, but I really got a Ferrari down there. Yeah. You want to do it. And you might be watching porn if you're masturbating a lot, like I am right now. The reason I say porn can be addictive is because I don't have a porn. I want to say clearly, I do not have a porn addiction, but I do see how it does suck you in. You're like, it's like YouTube, you know, like, no, okay, now watch this. Here, let me suggest that. Oh, you might like this, you know, and then when they recognize you, when you're whatever, they recognize your IP or whatever address, then they're popping up your good old favorites. Like, they know it's you. I'm not logged in. I don't have a membership. I'm not logged into anything. You just go on there, Pornhub, and boom, it's like they recognize it's you again. But I have noticed how they curate stuff. You know, I'm starting to pay attention how they're curating stuff and how it just, it's like this endless rabbit hole. There is no shortage of pornography. Holy shit. I'm curious to know, does anybody know, like, how many, what's the estimate of how many pornographic films there are on the out there available? I mean, there's so much of it. And I don't think, I think too much is, I absolutely think too much is not healthy. I do think people can actually get addicted to it. And I do think it can mess with your perception of what real sex is all about. If you watch it, you have to watch responsibly now. You got to know this is all performative, which seems obvious to say, but young people are watching it, then they're really, I mean, it is, it does shape their minds. I mean, it is their representation of what they think sex is all about. And as you know, porn doesn't usually show a lot of women having orgasms. That's the man's, it's always about the cum shot for the guy at the end. It's not about the pleasure the woman's getting along the way. And we don't even know if these women are getting any pleasure, quite frankly, because they're acting. And you can tell, what I hate is when it's so bad that I have to sit there and actually break down the porn. I'm like, oh, come on. That doesn't feel good. You can see she's grimacing. She's not into it. And that little 2-second little swipe over her clit that she did, like, that's going to make her come. Give me a break. Now, my only thing is I would like some realistic porno, please. Like, really? I love watching when I stumble on the real along the real stuff with couples. I like it because you can see the sensuality between them. And then sometimes there's a laugh because that's what real fucking sex is about. And then sometimes they're totally into each other or whatever the scenario is. They've got their threesome going on. You can see a real representation of a threesome, not something that's produced and staged and fake. Porn is fake. Sorry, if you didn't know, now you do. And I've had Eric Everhart on here enough to tell you guys that, which actually, I'll be honest, I didn't really know that about porn when I started all this. I didn't realize it was fake. Naive, but you know, I never really watched it that much. I just didn't know. I hadn't given it much thought. I think if I would have sat and maybe pondered it, perhaps I would have come up with these ideas and drawn some conclusions on my own. But it did take Eric really filling me in to realize, oh, okay, you know, like just how produced it is, which I didn't know. But yeah, it's fake, guys. But I like the real stuff. I like watching the real couples. That's fun. It's the sensuality and just like capturing all that. And I think that's why I enjoy taking my own videos with a partner because, well, it's hot. I like to masturbate to it and it's real. And that's what I want to see. I want to see real, actual fucking with people that are into each other, not surrounded by a big old camera crew and hair and makeup and all that stuff. Okay, let's see. The next thing. Oh, I touched on this earlier, but it's that our bodies are capable of so much pleasure. And especially for women, I feel like if they invested in their sexuality, it's an investment, ladies. Invest in your sexuality the way you invest in all of these creams, lotions, clothes, hair, makeup, you name it. All the things. We are the major spenders here. Invest in your own sexuality. It will pay off. Oh my gosh, so, so much. First of all, you'll just feel prettier in general. You'll feel sexier. All that stuff you've been buying, you'll know it's working in about 2 seconds. I'll tell you what, the glow of good sex, whoo, takes years off your life, solves a lot of problems, makes your makeup look better, your eyes sparkle more. Your waist looks thinner. I mean, it's good for a lot. The psychology of it, like literally, I can be in a really sexual mood and I look at myself and I'm like, yes, full of confidence, excited, sexy. Or I can have a time where I get out of it a little bit and I'm looking at myself and I'm like, oh God, I look frumpy. Yeah, I don't like the way I look. Or I'll start nitpicking myself. But when women prioritize that for themselves, oh my gosh, makes a world of difference. And I'm sorry. I still think, I don't know if there's ever going to be a way to prove this, you guys, but I believe firmly that as far as sex goes, I believe women experience way more pleasure than men. And I'm going to stand by that. I'm standing by that because we can orgasm so many different ways. We got our nipples. We get just touching us, grabbing us, sucking on our nipples, touching our tits, just playing with our pussies, rubbing our clits, getting our G spots, A spots. There's even a side spot I think I found in my vagina wall. I've always liked that. A little bit off to the side. It could be left or right. I'm not picky. But, you know, just kind of go at about a 45 degree angle, not straight in, like 45 degrees to the right or left. Either way. Dealer's choice, you pick, but there's something about that side stroke. I don't know. God dang, it's good. Okay. No, but seriously, really, our bodies. I mean, I've had, you know, I just have experiences where like I'm having these full body like orgasms, and I guess that's what you'd call it. I've had some weird, amazing, bizarrely pleasurable things happen to me during sex where I'm like, whoa, what was that? It makes me really firmly believe that we just haven't even begun to scratch the surface and really unlock all of the mysteries of the pleasure zones of our bodies. I am convinced of it. I'm living proof. So that's what I say. I say, I know for sure. But I didn't know then, like how I really didn't know just how much we're wired for pleasure. It's like a gift. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Especially the women. Stop wasting the pretty. Okay. The next thing that I really know now that I didn't know then, and I'm so ashamed to admit it, but it's just that men have feelings too. Oh my gosh, isn't that ridiculous? Why did I, you know, I think I focused at that point in my life and at that young age, I just really thought, I don't know, I just really thought we were so different that we had just big differences. We have biological differences. But our emotional differences and our needs around relationships, they're more similar than they are different. And I just always assumed that on the emotional level, men just were, oh God, devoid of feelings. I know that sounds awful, but I just didn't. I was never with bad guys. It was always just really nice, sweet, kind men. I just didn't think that they felt things as deeply and felt things the way we did. And they do. Sure shit, they do. And I love that. That's why I love you, men. I'm not trying to drag you over to the feminine side. I totally respect you are different creatures, but we also have some very surprising commonalities, as I've come to find out. The more fascinated I got with men, and the more interested, and the more men I dated and just had relationships with, and even casual ones, just meeting for a few times and nothing, not even going anywhere, but over all this time, the guys that I've met have just been really great. And of course, some stinkers, you can't help that. But men are just really, really interesting. And yeah, ladies, like, kind of dig in on that. Study them. We're around them all the time, so we take them for granted. We think we know them. We really do. We think we have them pegged, but we really don't. And I'm never thought I'd say that. It's very surprising the amount of things that we just don't know about them. We just overlook them because they don't put it out there the way we do. They don't wear their feelings on their sleeves. It's not obvious, you know? And so it's just really fun to get in there and discover, like, what's at the core of this man that I'm with, this man that I'm dating, or this man that I'm in love with. Yeah, I really have enjoyed that. And it's just something I wasn't about at all. God, I'm so sorry to say that. I wasn't even about that at all when I first started doing this. It actually took me quite a few years to naturally go in that direction, but it just happened, definitely unfolded organically, and it's been very fun. The next thing is, I really believe people's proclivities for variety sexually. And I don't mean different partners, that, you know, you can throw that in there too, but I'm talking about, like, for trying different kinks and just whatever it is, could be different positions, sex toys, whatever. People are into a whole lot more than you know. And again, unfortunately, you know, we don't get the chance to explore this freely and without shame or it being weird. It should just be this natural. We should naturally be encouraged to explore sexually what we like and what we're into, what we don't like. And there should be some emphasis on this at some point in our lives. Early 20s, I'd say, would be a great start. You know, start there. And people really should be encouraged to discover these aspects of themselves, question those aspects of themselves, explore those aspects of themselves. Because, like I said, you really will find that there's probably five things right now, really good, hot, sexy things that you have no idea that you're really into and that are going to rock your fucking world sexually. And that just, oof, the second you start tapping into those things, wow, 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 wow. Sex just becomes this whole new thing. Completely different. It's like a whole new definition. So, you know, again, it doesn't have to be anything crazy at all, but I just think people need to explore a little bit more. Just allow themselves a little runway on this, and they're going to start to realize that, oh my gosh, wow, that's really hot. That really does turn me on. I had no idea. This is so fun to discover this stuff. Like, I have had such a blast, really. Just, I mean, it digging in and going for it. And I think part of it is from whence I came, right? I really was in a place of, well, just a fucking desert, like a sexual wasteland. And so everything was new. Everything was exciting. Everything was fun. And my body had been denied so long that it was like, woohoo! Here we go. So it just has been a very, very fun adventure. Okay, last thing. I know this in my heart. I know there's a lot of people that are going to, they might disagree because they want to defend their relationship, but I do not believe you can truly be fulfilled in a partnership, in a partnered relationship without good sex. I don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying this has to go on until you both take your last breath, but you got to have a good run with it, at least a decade. I understand there's things that happen in life that can dramatically affect this. Depression, disabilities, addictions, just flat out aging at some point. I don't know if 90-year-olds are fucking like 30-year-olds. I doubt it. But they could, but I doubt it. So I'm not saying that it has to be solid, but if you are a dead bedroom scenario, a dead bedroom is having sex 12 times or less a year is what I believe they describe it as. So that would be once a month. Yeah, that's not enough. That's it. You're in a dead bedroom. They have a term for it. Not my term, but you know, I really don't believe that you can be truly fulfilled when you're without also having a good sexual connection with your partner. And that means frequency. Because there's just the, oh my gosh, just the intimacy and the bonding and everything is like, that's the other thing that I didn't know. Because I'd never been so sexual and with someone that I loved. And when I was able to start exploring and really get into my sexuality and having those experiences with partners, and some of those partners being partners that I deeply love, whoa, it makes a huge difference. And oh my gosh, it makes a huge difference. It's incredible. It's actually incredible. It just, I don't know, to share that with just really great sex with someone that you deeply, deeply care about or love. Oh my gosh. That is the stuff of life right there. I don't get me wrong. I am a lover of all forms of it. It can be casual, but I'm no dummy. I know that hands down, sex with someone that you truly, truly care about and love is great, good sex with that person. It doesn't even compare in any way, shape, or form to the casual stuff. And on that note, this is why I can and do see that the whole open relationships and things like that, because you can just fuck people and then make love with your partner. It is two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. I know a lot of women don't like that idea, and I struggle with it a little bit myself, but from a rational standpoint, I do, I've experienced it plenty of times, and I do know and understand how you can totally be in love with someone, but want to have sex with someone else. It's just to have a different experience, but it in no way competes with or detracts from the connection that you have with your partner. And your partner is not having sex with someone else that is even competing with what's going on with you and your partner in the bedroom, because that you have that bond. And your partner or you and another casual partner, that's the whole point of it being casual. You don't have it, that's not part of it. So anyway, I just think if you're going to be in a long-term partnership, you really, really should. You owe it to yourself to prioritize, protect, and preserve your sexual relationship. And that means starts with doing it. Doing it more than once a month. Oh my God. Terrible. I don't really know how people live with that. I don't know. Now, listen, I get there's people that probably both of them, if you're both equally matched with your, on your sexual levels, but still it's not, it really just is a matter of allowing yourselves that time and that space to connect. And it just, you need that bond. You really do. If you're going to share life's ups and downs with someone, you really need that good, strong sexual bond. I'm sorry. I'm just convinced of it. I know I'm a little biased at this point, but it's, I've got 8 years of research on my side, guys. So I think I'm starting to know what I'm talking about here. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. I always enjoy you spending this time with me, and I always want your feedback. Whatever you want to talk about, you know we can. I'm here for you. Super easy, guys. Leave me a voicemail, curiousgirldiaries.com. Click on the pink tab on the right-hand side. You got 5 minutes. Go for it. I get back to each and every one of you personally. It can be anything you want to talk about. Ask me a question about an episode. Give me a suggestion for an episode. Tell me you don't agree with me on something about an episode, or just a point of view that you've heard me express. That's fine. I just love to know what's on your mind. I share what's on my mind. Now it's your turn, guys. Why don't you share back? All right, everyone. Love you so much. Mwah, 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 mwah. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.